Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast. You will today be listening to Mr. Peter Wall. He is a well-known and very well-respected professional hypnotist. He practiced for over 20 years in Yorkshire in the United Kingdom, and he has since retired from practice and now is a full-time teacher of the art of hypnosis. For some time, he has run highly successful and well-respected courses training people in the art. For the last 2 years, he has spent time perfecting an online course, and the online course is now launched, and indeed it would be a perfect time as the lockdown gives people plenty of opportunity to consider their future careers. Not only is the course beneficial to somebody who's looking for a career in this fantastic mind-changing art, but you can also utilise the course to enhance your own personal well-being, strengthen your confidence, and find yourself in a great place using the skills that are taught in the course. So sit back and spend 45 minutes with Mr. Peter Wall. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast, and today we're with Mr. Peter Wall. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Ian.
And how are you on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
I'm absolutely tickety-boo.
Jolly good. Jolly good. Peter, you have a new online course coming out, and you have worked many, many hours on producing it. It's not something that you've taken on lightly, and we'll come to the amount of videos that you've made for it. But first, because this podcast is now worldwide, there'll be people who haven't got any idea at all who Mr. Peter Wall is. So could you give me a brief synopsis of your personal history, my friend?
Wow, okay. Well, I was born here in Barnsley, where I am at the moment, in South Yorkshire, a long, long time ago, 19. Yeah, I'm really old. A long time ago. My father was in the army, and we travelled all around the world. So my schooling was basically everywhere. Wherever he was posted, that's where he went, and that's where I went to school. When I left school, I had various amounts of jobs. I found that I couldn't, a job didn't satisfy, what's the word I'm looking for, my concentration long enough. And so I ended up moving around doing quite a lot of different types of work. Then I settled down into the building industry. I ended up in the building industry for a number of years. I became a qualified bricklayer. Then there was a big crash with that, and then when all the builders were out of work, then became a coded welder, and I became a welder fabricator. I did that for a couple of years, and then I lost interest in that. Then I ended up in sales. Did lots of different things in sales. You name it, I probably tried to sell it. And then I went into the catering industry, and I started off as a barman, then became a waiter, then a restaurant manager, and then in the end I ended up being a maitre d', teaching people silver service and all that kind of thing. And then during another spell, when that sort of like collapsed as well, I started doing working with stained glass. I was always fascinated by stained glass windows and things like that, and how they made them. And so I taught myself how to do stained glass work. And one of the things I used to do is I used to build terrariums. They are little tiny greenhouses that you have in your house, and put little plants inside them. But I incorporated the stained glass into them, so it made them quite nice and pretty, you know, when the light shines through them. I used to sell those to garden centres. And then somebody once asked me if I would make them a pyramid shape, kind of a terrarium, I suppose. But I asked them if that was to put plants in, and they said no. His wife was in crystals, a big way into crystals, and she'd read a book that if you put a crystal inside a pyramid, it would clean and re-energize them. So he asked me if I could make one. I said, well, I can always have a go. So then I ended up making these pyramids, and that's how I first got into the Mind, Body, Spirit events. And my very first show was at Ilkley. The lady said that she hadn't seen anybody doing these kind of things before, so it would be great if you could come along and exhibit them. And that's what I did. And so I ended up doing the pyramids. I was known as Pyramids by Pierre, because it sounds better than Pyramids by Pete. So, yeah. Yeah. And I did that for about 8 years. You know, so that became my livelihood then. And it was at Ilkley show, one of the Ilkley shows, where I met a guy called Brian Glenn. And I got talking to him, and he actually taught hypnosis, clinical hypnosis. And so obviously I got talking to him because another thing I was interested in, and I have always been interested in, is magic. And how the mind works and how you can trick the mind to believe the coins disappeared and things like that. And I've always been interested in hypnosis. You know, how can somebody, you know, just talk to somebody and make them run around thinking they're a chicken and that kind of thing. It's always fascinated me. And anyway, so I ended up signing up to his course. And so that was in 2000, in the year 2000. So I signed up on his course. So I was qualified, and the rest is history, basically. So since 2001, I've been a clinical hypnotherapist. It's the longest job I've held in my life, because what I found with all the other jobs is there was a bit of a, you know, it was too much repetition, whereas with hypnosis, every person that comes into your clinic or every client that you see is different and unique. And so even though they might, you know, you might have 10 smokers coming to you, each and every one is different, and they smoke for different reasons and they want to stop for different reasons. So it's quite engaging. And so I found that fascinating.
Very interesting indeed. And does this mean, Peter, that you and I have known each other for over 22 years?
I'm afraid so. I know. With me for 22 years.
We have. Now, when you were doing your pyramids, you were working with lots of people, esoterical, in a time when the interest in esoterical work was absolutely magnificent, wasn't it? There were so many people that if you went to an MBS show in those days, it was anything from the crazy to the seriously crazy to the factually insane. And there were so many people with lively ideas that were vibrant, spiritual concepts. And I don't think that we've actually got that type of genre now, have we? It's completely transformed. But while you were there, you did your course, and then something really special happened because you started to get into past life regression. And I remember the first time I saw it and I said to you, what's this all about, Peter? And you said, well, have a go. And I never did. I didn't want to go too far into my other life.
But you see, people were quite scared of past life regression in those days.
They were.
It was a fairly new concept, wasn't it? Although it's been around for, you know, a long, long time. In that vein, it was a fairly new concept. Mm, mm. And I did struggle at the beginning, I will admit. You know, trying to get people to come and have past life regression with me was quite difficult sometimes. Especially at the beginning.
But Peter, don't get too modest here, because the listeners have got to take on board really at this marker that you did become, without any doubt in my mind and many, many, many other people's minds, you did become the number one top guy in the UK for past life regressions.
Well, I have been told that.
Don't be modest, you were.
I know. But I mean, I did a lot. I did a lot of work on past life regression. I changed the way people think about it as well. I took away all the scariness of it and changed it around. And so I had a lot of people coming to me. I had other hypnotherapists coming to me and asking me, you know, how are you doing this? How are you doing it so nice and good and safe? Mm. And so I started teaching other hypnotherapists my way of doing it, you know. That's why I think I became so popular, because of the way that I did it.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched you on television a few times. I remember the one that you did. Was it Nikki Campbell? Quite an interesting program, wasn't it? Because you had quite a few antagonists there who were not too plussed on the idea of past lives or anything of that nature. But you had somebody with you who had a fascinating story to tell, didn't you?
Yes, that's true. Both things that you just said. I took a lady with me when they asked me if I would go on and talk about the program was about past lives, reincarnation, and could you be an animal in a past life?
Mm.
And so I was recommended as a specialist speaker to go on that program. And I took with me Lindsay. She'd been to Lincoln, to the Lincoln show, where I'd regressed her, took her back into a couple of past lives. And when she got home, because I recorded it onto a tape, I think it was in them days, she was playing it to her daughter, who became fascinated by it. And they did a lot of research. And they were actually still doing the research when the program came on. And she actually found who she was back in 1865, I think, or 1867 now. Found out who she was. Tamar Scott, she was called.
Fantastic. Now, Peter, how many past life regressions do you think that you've been involved with up until the time you retired from past life regression?
Oh, my God. Jesus. I would imagine it would be in the thousands, I would have thought.
Well, I would have thought so, because if I remember, you probably doing PLR for, 15 years?
No, it was longer than that. I think I did past life regression for about 16 years. I think it was 16 years, not 15.
Well, at a number of about 100 a year, which is going to be quite low because of the amount of shows and things that you attended countrywide. I mean, it's got to be knocking on the door of 2,000, I suppose, hasn't it? Including your private clients, which people used to travel, I know, countrywide to come and see you. And so, you know, your knowledge of getting people into the hypnotic trance because of this part of it is quite phenomenal, isn't it? Just if we just take the PLR aspect of it, you will have introduced getting on for 2,000 people into trance just in that one aspect of your work. Fascinating, and much experience, because all people are different.
Yeah. Yeah, and each person will go into different levels of trance. Each people will have a different way of going into trance. So it's something that you have to learn and be aware of. When you're actually working with people, you have to decide for yourself whether you need a deep, you know, long induction or a short, fast induction, things like that. So, yeah, I think that's why I found it so fascinating. Because you're constantly thinking, you're constantly using your brain all the time. You know?
But what the listener should know is that your work actually wasn't totally foundational on past life regression, because you also had a phenomenally busy private clinical practice, and there was many things that you dealt with. I'm going to talk about the hypnoband aspect of it in a moment, but could you give us some idea of the depth and breadth, the range of type of anxieties, problems that you dealt with?
Well, I mean, obviously, as a clinical hypnotherapist, I covered practically everything. So if we just go with the basics of fears, phobias, anxieties, depression. Then there's bereavement, and you know, bereavement anxiety. Then there's the other things like the weight loss, stopping smoking, etc., etc. So yeah, I just covered basically everything. I dealt with drug addicts, people with suicidal tendencies, people that had voices in their heads, all kinds of different things. It's just, I mean, the list just goes on, basically.
But yeah, it's interesting, actually. I was talking to somebody who is now passed to the other side. She's died. And I spoke to her at York, and you'd worked with her at York when she was in a most terrible situation. She was suffering from that most evil of all diseases. And you helped to no end. And I remember she said to me, we were talking about you, wandering across with a cup of coffee. And I said, do you know Peter? And she said, that man has enabled me to live my life. And I there's no more better statement than that, is there? It's a powerful, powerful statement for a third person to see somebody and just say, that man has enabled me to live my life, as she was going through the final throes of her life. Very powerful. Yeah. So you've done some most incredible things. It isn't just a case of somebody coming and saying, oh, stop me smoking cigarettes. There is that situation where somebody come up to you and say, Peter, I have a terminal illness. I'm not coping very well. What can you do to help me? And I know with this particular instance, you really enabled somebody to live the final 18 months of her life with a fair amount of treasure, thoughts to treasure.
Yeah.
And now, Peter, there's a lot of ex-very heavy ladies who have a lot to thank you for. Can you give us a bit of an idea of how the phenomenon that Hypnoband, what happened in that moment in time?
Yeah, that was several years ago now when that first came out. Obviously, I'm always looking for new ways of helping people. Yeah, so I had a weight loss program that was quite successful. But then I heard about this new phenomenon called Hypnoband, which is the virtual gastric band system. And a friend of mine put me onto a radio program where this guy had been talking, a guy called John McLean had been speaking. And so I got the link to that. And actually, on that program, he gave his mobile number out. So I gave him a call. And he was actually in Spain and working over in Spain. And he had ladies that used to come from the UK, especially to him, for weight loss. And he used to get a lot of ladies that were coming that was going in for a gastric sleeve fitting or a gastric bypass. And they had to lose weight before they were allowed to go into theatre, you know, because of the anaesthesia. And so he then started looking into, well, he knows how powerful the brain is, how powerful the mind is why don't we see if we can give them a gastric band and see if the body will react accordingly. And that's how that came about. He created the virtual gastric band. And so when I spoke to him, he said that he was looking for affiliates in the UK. And so obviously I signed up to it and became an affiliate here in the UK. Then there was two ladies that had been to him who came over, and there was on Lorraine Kelly's program in the morning, and saying that how they'd lost all this weight between them and what have you. Then the national papers picked up on it. So, of course, I'm advertising, you know, Hypnoband in my paper here, and people saw it on the TV, and my phone just started ringing like billio. And so, yeah. And I just binned all my other weight loss programs that were running. I would only run the virtual gastric band system because the success rate was just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
Do you ever see any of your previous clients? I know you've moved away from your previous site of your clinic, but have you ever seen anybody since all those years ago?
Yeah, I do pop in, you know, when I'm out and about, I'll see people and they'll come up and talk to me, obviously.
Wow. So very, very successful. But you adapted the system and made it your own later on, didn't you?
I did. I mean, things move on. You know, like I said, you find new ways of doing things. And as time moved on, I thought, well, I can adapt this to this and I can change it to that and I can do this and that and that. And so basically I took the concept of it and recreated a different one, which I now call the Aphrodite Weight Loss System, which includes the virtual gastric band.
And you have quite a few independent practitioners who have trained with you using the Aphrodite system as well.
Yeah, successful. I did the same thing. Yeah, I was looking for affiliates as well. So obviously, Mind Body and Spirit events, talking about hypnosis and what have you, there are other hypnotherapists there, and I'll have a word with them and see if they want to, you know, become an affiliate and run the Aphrodite Weight Loss Program. And obviously I give them, it's like a business package, you know, so they get everything to run the program. And so, yeah, I do have quite a few practitioners now.
And now we come on to the next stage of this. Peter, you decided, because the lease came to an end, to close your clinic. And I know that it was a major decision for you, because you were thinking, should I take a new clinic on or should I just let the lease go? And then all sorts of opportunities came along and you decided that you wanted to move home. And during this time, you had decided, and I know that you'd been working on for about 3 to 4 years, you'd been working on your own course and you wanted to make a very personal one-to-one hypnosis practitioner course. And that was the time that you decided that the clinic would indeed close and you'd become a trainer, where you would book a nice hotel conference room and work with a number of people each weekend, and then they would go away with the notes and work at what you taught them, and very successful. So tell me a little bit about your one-to-one training and your group training, Peter.
Yeah, you're quite right. I retired when I got to 65, and basically I got bored. But you see, prior to that, I mean, for years people have been saying to me, why aren't you teaching hypnotherapy with all your knowledge and experience that you've had over the years? You should be passing that on. And I always said, well, the problem I have is I'm that busy working, I haven't got time to put a course together. So of course, when I did retire, people were saying to me, come on, it's about time you put this course together. And I think you were one of them, actually, Ian. I think you said
it. I most certainly was, but I've been saying it for 10 years, Peter.
So I got thinking, okay. And so, like you said, I spent a couple of years putting it all together. I got it accredited as well. So once I put all my course together, I got it accredited with the National Council of Psychotherapy. I took the course to them, let them go through it, make sure that it was correct and up to standard and whatever. And they said, yeah, it's fine. So then I started advertising that, started getting people coming on board that. And that's been quite successful. So that is, like I've said, it's me teaching you, you know, so I'm the tutor. There are 10 modules involved. It's done over a weekend. So there are 10 weekends that you have to commit to it. And at the end of it, you get, if you pass all the exams and whatever, at the end of it, you get a diploma in a clinical hypnotherapy and psychotherapy.
And I've noticed that one or two of the students that I met that had qualified later or earlier this year or later, no, latter last year, wasn't it? There's one or two of them having quite an amount of success. You can see it on social media, and you can see them really, really getting on extremely well with their careers. But you do, it's okay getting the diploma, isn't it? It's okay getting the qualification, but you do have to work very hard to make it sing And I know that you do a lot of work toward the end of the course in promotion and how to put your business together, because it's very, very much part of it, isn't it? Effort is essential to become a good...
It's no good just learning how to be a hypnotherapist. Yeah, you have to learn the marketing side of it as well. And so I wanted to make sure that I incorporated that into the course. So we do quite a bit on marketing as well. So it's all about how to get yourself out there, how to promote yourself, what works and what doesn't work. You know, because I've spent a lot of money over the years trying things and they never work. So I want to make sure my students don't fall in the trap. So it's not just all about the hypnotherapy. There's a lot more involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, from my point of view, anybody who's interested in what we're going to talk about in a minute, which is Peter's really sparkling online course, I can talk from a very personal perspective that I had a very, if you like, spasmodic involvement with hypnosis. We were fortunate to have some offices in the middle of Nottingham, which helped. And I worked with a few people, perhaps two or three people a week. And then one day I had somebody phone me up about flying, and I did a lot of research. And I think that's the way to go, isn't it, Peter? If you've got a new client about something you haven't been working with for a long time, do a lot of research and put it together, get a feeling for it. And I came up with this script and it was one of those, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night, I think I'll try that moment.
Yeah.
And I came up with this script, which is still available on the Amazon Kindle, which is Overcome the Fear of Flying. And basically, the script's in that book. And I just had this one phenomenal success. And I don't know how to this day, and I don't know why to this day, but all of a sudden, my phone didn't stop ringing. And there were people coming from everywhere to get into aeroplanes. It was fascinating. And like you, Peter, I became bored of it. And the only reason that I'm mentioning that, is that if you're going to embark on a course, a brilliant course will give you immense willpower. It'll give you an immense amount of confidence that you can be successful. But you do need to be knocking on the door of opportunity. You need to be getting people to know what you're doing, and you need to be getting clients in who recommend you, and away you go. So the course is got to be good, because it's got to give you the confidence to say, yes, I can do that. And now I'm going to twist the story around a little bit.
Well, what you just said there about confidence and what have you, about the course, the course is not designed only for you to learn how to help other people. The course is designed so you can learn how to help other people, but also it's designed so that you can help yourself.
Wow.
The number of students that I've had, at the end there's a little questionnaire that they fill out, and one of it says, what did you get from this? From the course. And they said, well, I speak to my children differently now. I've got more confidence now. I can stand up and talk, you know, I don't have to sit down and hide anymore. So, you know, like public speaking and things. So the course is a self-awareness, it's self-development, because that is, if you understand what it feels like to be the client and you're going through it, and you find, wow, that's given me all the confidence, then you're more likely to be able to help your client when they come to you for lack of confidence, because you've already gone through it and you understand it all, or the process of it.
Yeah, so you could actually sign onto your course with no intention whatsoever of becoming a practicing professional hypnotherapist, but you could actually utilize all of the things that you have learned to benefit your own life. So if you're a salesman, it can benefit your sales technique. If you're a therapist, it could benefit your dialogue with your clients. Even if you were a psychic reader or something of that nature, it can benefit you in your work. And on a basis of where you're working with the public, you could be even a civil servant and you would benefit from the lessons that you are taught in the course, Peter.
Yep. I have a lady on the course now, and when I asked her what she's going to be doing, you know, with the course when she's qualified, she says, well, I'm basically here for myself. I'm basically here because I'm just so shy and withdrawn, and I've got no confidence, I've got no willpower to do anything or what have you. And somebody who had been on the course prior to her has said, well, she's done this and she's done that, and she feels like this and she feels like that. And so she just basically come on the course for that. Whether she will take it any further than that, I don't know. And it's entirely up to her. But she's there just because of what she can gain from the course for herself.
Yes, yes. So I was talking to you, and I know other people have been talking to you over a long period of time, and we all said, yeah, but Peter, why don't you do an online course and you literally put your crucifix up, because it was as if you were talking to the devil, wasn't it? You were not into that idea whatsoever.
I won't quite put it like that, but I know what you mean. When I was going around promoting my school, as I said earlier, there are 10 modules and it's done over a weekend, you know, one module per weekend. So you have to commit to 10 weekends. And a lot of people are saying to me, God, I'd love to go on your course, Peter, but I just can't commit to the weekends. And a lot of them were actually doing the mind, body and spirit events. So it meant that some of my training was on their weekends, which they'd already booked, you know, to stand at these shows. And so people did ask me if I would do a downloadable course. Well, over the years, I've come across people that are claiming to be hypnotherapists, and they've done these downloadable courses. And when I talked to them, they couldn't even understand the terminology I was using, which I found quite amusing. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, a qualified hypnotherapist. So I was always a bit shy of these downloadable courses. So I just got thinking, well, it seems a shame that these people can't benefit from the course, from my knowledge and things like that, just because they can't attend. So what I did is I bought some downloadable courses to see what kind of a format it runs in and all that kind of thing. And I wasn't best pleased, I'll put it that way.
Should we say you weren't impressed?
I can do better than this. I can do better than this. Do better than this, yeah. And so what I did is I thought, well, if I approach it as if they were in the classroom with me, because everybody says, you know, when I'm working with them, it's we learn rather than just reading what you've written. When you start talking and explaining it, it becomes so much clearer. You know, I understand now what that means because you've explained it in such a way that I can understand it. So what I've done is I've taken my one-to-one course and I've got all the written work is exactly the same as my one-to-one course. But then what I've done is with each subject in each module, I've recorded myself, filmed myself, talking about each and every one, just as if I was in a classroom talking to students. So when you said earlier, we'll talk about all these videos you've done. So it's taken me 18 months to put this together because I had to learn how to film myself, you know, what units I could use, what programs I could use to do what I want, because obviously when I'm teaching, I've got a PowerPoint there with videos on it to explain the videos and things like this. So I finally found everything out and I've made well over 50 videos of me talking about various aspects of the course. Plus there are lots of explainer videos as well. There's also some audio recordings, past life regression stuff and things like that. So it's basically what I would do on a one-to-one basis in a classroom, but I've put it in such a way that it's... My phone just made a funny noise, and I don't know if you heard that.
We did, but no, it does happen. It does happen.
So I've done it in such a way that it's like you're in a classroom environment. When I did it, I spoke to my governing body about it, the National Council of Psychotherapy is my governing body. And the first thing he just said is, no, we don't endorse downloadable courses. So I went, yeah, that's fair enough. But can I just explain what I'm doing? And so when I actually showed him what I've done and explained everything, he went, oh, that's totally different. So even my downloadable course is now accredited by the National Council of Psychotherapy.
Brilliant. Now, Peter, the first thing I've got to say is you didn't actually record 50 plus videos. You probably recorded 100 plus videos because I know that if you weren't happy with one, it was deleted and
it
started all over again. The amount of effort that's gone into this isn't just 5 minutes, is it?
Oh, no. I had to learn, you know, what kind of camera I would need, what kind of sound, microphones I would need, and, you know, all that kind of thing. So I think if anybody goes on the course, they'll see the videos near the end get a lot better than at the beginning because, you know, I was evolving and learning as I was going through, putting it all together.
But the point is with instructional videos, it's the content which is 90% of it, isn't it? The content is what really matters and what really counts. And there was something that you said to me some weeks ago when you were kind enough to let me have a look at a couple of the very impressive modules. You said the great thing is people can keep going back and they can keep relearning until they're absolutely at capacity with the module, and then they can move on. And you said in some ways that's something that is difficult to do in the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when I'm working, I try to work to my slowest person, if you understand what I mean.
I do.
So, one of my students, I think when you recorded her, she said, one of the things I like about Peter is that he could be talking, right, about a subject, and then we move on to another subject. And as in the middle of him talking, you could just say, just a minute, I'm not quite sure what you said back there. And he stops and he'll go back and he'll re-explain it again to you and then carry on again. Because I want to make sure, I want them to know that I'm there for everyone. So some people can learn really quickly, yeah? Some people absorb everything really fast and some people don't, right? So I'm not going to leave the ones behind that doesn't understand for the ones that already understand it. They'll just have to wait because I want to make sure that that person, right, understands everything. And so the thing about the video is that if you're not too sure about what I've said, just pause it, go back and re-listen to it again. Yeah. And so that is another good thing, like you just pointed out there. But I also do that in my classroom. I don't leave anybody behind.
I know that. Now, every module in the course has a Q&A examination at the end of it, Peter. And do you have to complete that before you can move on?
Yeah, when I designed the course, I didn't want it where you could just jump in on any module you wanted, right? Because if you don't know what hypnotherapy is, you wouldn't understand some of the terminology that's in it. So I've designed it in such a way that you have to start on module one. And only when you've completed module one can you move on to module two. And so if you, Q&A at the end, there's a pass rate for that. So if you haven't achieved that pass rate, it will tell you, yeah? And it'll even tell you which ones you've got wrong. So you can go back, have a look at the coursework and go, oh, yeah, that's what it was, yeah. And then go back in and answer those questions and it'll pass you then. And then you can move on, yeah? When I'm in my classroom, people have to give me case studies, home studies, yeah, things like that. So I've also included those on the downloadable course as well. The system allows for you as a student to open up the case study and you just type in all the information there, then gets sent to me. I then have a look at it, pass it, and once I've passed it, you can move on.
Excellent. Peter, can your students on the online course, can they communicate with you if they've got a problem they can't find within the module, if they've got a question they can't find an answer to?
Yeah, of course they have, yes. There's you know, speak to your instructor. There's a link there, so you can click that. That then sends me an email. Yeah, so you just click speak to your instructor, put in what you want to ask, that gets sent to me, and then I just answer it, send it straight back.
Brilliant. So how many modules are involved in the online course, Peter?
I've kept it at 10. So I've kept it the same as 10. I could have split it into 20. Basically, you know, on a weekend, if you think about it, there's 20 modules, if you think, isn't there? Because we do 10 modules over 2 days.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's technically 20. But I decided to keep it at 10. So you can, you know, people say to me, how long will it take me to complete the course? Well, it depends on what your learning skills are. If you're one of these people that can learn quickly and absorb everything and keep it, then you're going to move through it quite quickly. Yeah. But if you're not, then it's going to take you a bit longer. So the thing about in a classroom, people feel pressure that they have to learn. Yeah. I always, after everything I say, has anybody got any questions on that? 9 times out of 10 people won't put their hands up because they're scared or whatever. Whereas with the online, you can take your time. You can go back. You can relearn. You can think, well, what was that again? And go back and do it. So you can learn to suit your own pace. Mm-hmm. So if you're a slow learner, it'll just take you longer than somebody who's a fast learner.
Yes, that's interesting because I know when I've done one-day courses, there's nothing more frustrating than coming to a point and saying, is everybody quite clear about that before we move on? And then you've wrapped up the day. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. You've had a very busy, very intensive day. And two students come up to you and say, oh, could you tell me about...
I know exactly what you're going to say then. Because I get that all the time.
I know. And that's one of the advantages of the online course, because as I've mentioned already, I've seen a couple of the modules and they are absolutely fabulous. They really are. I mean, my feeling is you could sit with your laptop on your knee in bed and a notebook, headphones on, and you could have a nice half an hour each evening with Peter and with his course, and you'd really, really learn from it. And if you don't feel that you've learnt sufficient about an aspect, you can just rewind a bit and you can just start all over again and just keep going on. Just like learning to play our guitars, Peter, where you learn a bar and then you learn the next bar and you keep on going until you learn the whole of the piece. So there is great advantages here, isn't there? And of course, you can take your laptop with you anywhere in the world. You can sit and work if you've got half an hour for your lunch break. You can fire up the course. There's a lot of application to this course, isn't there? You're not restricted to have to travel. You can take it with you and you can learn in your own time and learn very effectively indeed.
It's also mobile friendly as well, so you don't necessarily have to have your laptop. It's also iPad friendly, so it works on all, medias?
It is.
Yeah, works on all media. So, you know, you can even do it off your phone. The other thing as well is people talk about the cost of it. And so the way the costing structure that I created for it is that you can pay as you go. So you can pay for module one, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And I'd rather not put the price in, Peter, because this is it's because somebody might be listening to this in 18 months' time and you might have added more modules to it. And so...
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about the price.
Oh, excellent. Okay, fair enough.
Pay per module, yeah? Or the other alternative is they can pay for the whole course up front, mm-hmm, a discount. So that's as far as I was going to say.
Oh, excellent, that. Excellent. So the course itself is really an accumulation of 20 plus years of experience, many, many, many hours of training by other people from yourself. You've trained by and taken on courses from other people. You're absolutely completely dedicated to your work over the 20 years. I've seen your office, and the library of books is so extensive, and they're all well marked and well thumbed through, Peter. Something that you lived and breathed when you worked professionally, and now people are able to come and learn about hypnosis from somebody who has actual years upon years upon years of hands-on experience. And no matter what anybody says, or after listening to this statement, if I were going to embark upon a hypnosis course, the first thing that I would do is I would ask the instructor for some evidence of the amount of time that they worked for, and perhaps some indication of the people they've worked with. And that is something that you're able to do without any problem at all. There are people countrywide who know you, all the people that you ever worked with at the weekends, thousands of them. You know, there's a lot of very, very important experience, because you can't beat experience, really, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. You know, and that's, you know, that was another thing that prompted me as well, because I saw people were doing online, were doing training, hypnotherapy training, and they'd only got like 12 to 18 months experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're teaching.
And of course, know, Peter, we have had seen people with other forms of hypnosis at shows many years ago, with clients running out of the room with screaming abjects.
old Dr. Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
But there are, I mean, there is, it is nothing but nothing to be afraid of. It's an absolutely wonderful thing, hypnosis. I mean, in fact, people don't realise it, but they're in a hypnotic trance when they're sitting and watching EastEnders every evening, yeah, aren't they?
I mean, people say to me, you know, you must have a lot of qualifications then before, you know, you went into this. And the beauty about hypnosis is you don't need any qualifications whatsoever. You know, it's when people ask me, I say, can you speak? Yeah. Can you read? Yeah. Can you write? Yeah. You can be a hypnotherapist. Because they're the only qualities you really need. Obviously, you need to be compassionate. You know, you need to be caring. You need to be a caring person as well. You've got to have empathy with your clients and things like this. You know, I had a guy that came up to me at one of the shows, and he goes, "How much does it come on your course?" So I told him. He says, "And you'll teach me how to hypnotize people." So I went, "Yeah, not a problem." So he went, "Great." I said, "Why do you want to be a hypnotherapist?" He says, "I'm lonely. I want to be able to hypnotize women so they'll be madly in love with me." So obviously, I sent him on his way. He goes, "No, that doesn't work. If it did, I would have lots of girlfriends."
And well, you've got a lot of friends. There's no argument. You have got a lot of friends worldwide. Interestingly, though, there is something called, you know, a hypnotic personality, which I'm sure you touch on somewhere along the course. I mean, there is such a thing, isn't there, where people are absolutely captivating. And it is the way that they act, and the way that they stand, and the way that they speak. And they're all things that I've no doubt that are involved in your course.
Yeah. Yeah, I talk about waking hypnosis, about the power of suggestion, by using subliminal suggestions, you can influence people. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
When I talk about influence people, if you think about a salesman, if you go into a car showroom, right, and you say, "How much is that car?" They don't tell you. They go, "Well, let me show you it." And they get you to sit in it, and they get you to imagine it. You know, imagine you driving that car now. Can you imagine yourself going onto the coast in this? And it sounds like, and they get, what they're doing is they're planting all these seeds in your mind, how good it's going to be for you to own that car, so that you're more likely to accept it when they tell you how much it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's something similar to that.
Now, we're coming to the conclusion of our podcast. If there were one thing that you think that you, I'm putting you on the spot,
Don't you put me on the spot.
If there were one thing that you personally have taken from your work with hypnosis, Peter, what would it be?
Personally, for me? Wow. It brought me out of my shell. I was absolutely terrified of public speaking. When I was at school, we were asked to write a story about a penny. Remember the old coins, the old pennies, farthings and whatever?
I do.
And I wrote this story, and the teacher asked me to get up and stand in front of class and read it out. And she had to send two boys to come and get me because I was running across the playground, screaming in terror. Even in sales, I was asked to stand up and to talk about, you know, my sales figures and things like that, and I would faint and collapse. So what I took away from it when I went on my course, it taught me how to get over that. It brought my confidence up. It just changed my whole life, basically. If I went to a party, I was the guy sat in the corner with a drink, you know, don't come and talk to me, I'm too shy, kind of a guy. And now people are saying, oh, you're going to come to this party? I go, no. Oh, go on, Peter. Go on, please. Because, you know, you're the life and the soul of the party.
And you are.
And I would never, you know, if you'd have told me that 20-odd years ago, you know, that one day you're going to be life and soul of the party, you know, I would have thrown up.
And you haven't got a problem talking in front of an audience of 300-plus people and they stand there.
I know.
And they go away absolutely captivated with what they have learned. I will repeat this for the third time. I have had the privilege to look through two of the modules and they are more than impressive. There is no doubt that whoever embarks upon the course will benefit without any doubt whatsoever. Even if you buy the first module, you're going to lock into something that's phenomenal. But I'll bet that once you've done one, you'll want to do the next. And before you can say, I'm a hypnotist, you will be one.
You will.
You will. Mr. Peter Wall, thank you very, very much indeed. There will be a full breakdown on the page of how to contact Peter, but for the listener, would you give some verbal details of your contact, my friend?
The page that you would need to go to if you wanted to have a look, there's two ways you can do it. You can go to innerlight-hypnosis.com, which is my academy page, where there is a link to the online course. So if you're not interested in the online course, you can still look on there for the online for the one-to-one course. Or you can go to innerlightacademy-online.com, and that will take you to the page, the website where the online course is. And if you want to look any further, just follow the links there and it will take you through everything.
And if you were a sales team or corporate who would want some one-to-one training, I'm sure you could contact Mr. Peter Wall, twist his arm, pay him a nice big wedge of money, and he'll come along and improve your team.
You want me to come out of retirement now? Is that what you're saying?
I think you would if there was enough involved. And but thank you so much, Peter, for this most informative, clear and precise talk. I will repeat it. Anybody who involves himself in a course is going to have a roller coaster ride of knowledge, wisdom and understanding. Mr. Peter Wall, thank you very much indeed for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure and a joy, as always, with you, Ian.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Take care.